This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. You can find them at harborair.com. This is year 15 of Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. I find myself in what used to be a barn in Mill Bay, Vancouver Island. The show started in what used to be a barn in a studio on the Naramata Bench 15 years ago. Now, two of the folks that I met along the way we're going to visit. One is Ann Sperling, who is without a doubt one of the very best winemakers in the entire country. She has Sperling Vineyards in East Kelowna. That's her family's vineyards. Those are some old vines there, friends. She has been hired to consult in Niagara, which is where we found her. She's also consulting in Argentina. She knows her stuff. When you hear Anne talking and you hear the pitch of her voice, you can hear the passion for what she's making and what she's working with. It just comes through. She can't help it. She just gets excited. So I really look forward to catching up with Anne Sperling. And the thing is, if anybody is going to do something new and interesting and sort of push the envelope, it'll be Anne Sperling. And I want to celebrate that, because we're going to talk about regenerative growing, about, you know, making the land as good as it was when you started growing in it so many years ago, what the earth gave us. And it's a lot of work to make sure that land is preserved. And basically, she's done it. And that's why the wines taste still so good. She has, I think, six wines she's going to pour for us. And then part two of this show is another fabulous winemaker, Michael Clark, the co-owner and the general manager and the winemaker at Clos du Soleil in Carrameus. Fabulous wines. Friends, you know, if you've ever had a Clos du Soleil wine, you know you've stepped into a very, very unique experience. And we have new releases from Michael Clark. He's in the cellar. We're going to find him. Well, actually, there's a video on our YouTube channel of him sitting in the cellar doing the interview. So you can join us and watch the labels go by as well. So, Anne Sperling, Michael Clark, on this edition of Tasting Room Radio. Do enjoy, and my thanks, as always, to our four sponsors, Mooncursor, The Hatch, Jason Barks Customs, Hillside, and Unsworth in the Cowichan Valley, and our title sponsor, the wonderful people and the wonderful airline called Harbor Air, who are now flying from Kelowna to Vancouver and back again all summer long. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. The Bistro is opened for lunch after a two-year hiatus with a set price two-course lunch, dinner 5 to 9, and most importantly, they also have takeout options. Both the Wine Shop Tasting Room and Bistro are open Wednesday to Sunday and reservations only. They do offer wine sales Monday and Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Two new releases to tell you about, the 2021 Rosé and the 2019 Pinot Noir. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. I found an old friend on the phone, Anne Sperling, the winemaker and co-owner of Sperling Vineyards in Kelowna. All right. We now come to your day job, your releases for 2021.
Yes.
And I'm thrilled and delighted to have consumed vast quantities. I don't do sipping well. I always if the wine has been well made and you've respected it, I have to have a meal with that bottle and I have to get to know it and shake hands with it, you know. And so for example, I did a food pairing last night. I thought I was going out for Japanese food just down the road. And I realized when I got to the front door that they were closed for that night. And so I ad-libbed and ended up at a really nice East Asian restaurant, grabbed some stuff and came home. Now, I had on the table the Old Vines Riesling. And I thought, okay, can it adapt? Can it go from Japanese sushi and noodles, etc., to big sauces and stuff, and it was fantastic.
Mm.
Very adaptable. Now, you might not have recommended either one of those to go with your old vines Riesling, but I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I was mentioning to you earlier that I was on Vancouver Island last week before last, and, you know, I was tasting the wines with our sales teams, but enjoying the wines over some lunches and you know, local cuisine. And, you know, they're so adaptable, especially when there's seafood involved or lighter cuisine. And I'm not saying, maybe I'm using lighter to say, you know, lighter as in fish, seafood, or veggies.
Sure.
And, you know, and when there's no meat, I find that these wines kind of like move from course to course really comfortably, and they hold up, but they don't compete. So you've got, you know, the enjoyment of the wine and the enjoyment of the dish together.
I'm going to take it through the Pinot Noir Rosé, the Ruby Pet Nat, Spirits Pet Nat, and the Old Vines Riesling.
Pinot Blanc,
The Pinot Blanc, yeah. I got the Pinot Blanc. These are all available now?
Yes, they are. Yep.
And we started, when Meg and I opened the box, the first bottle we went ooh and ah was the 2021 Pinot Noir Rosé, because that's exactly where we live. Please tell Anne, it is by far my favorite rosé of all that I've tasted, and she's tasted hundreds of them.
Right.
So a 5-star rating from this household.
That was a nice wine to make. 2021 for us, you know, the growing season had its challenges due to the heat dome, but how it played out at Sperling Vineyards in Kelowna is that the vines were, the fruit and ripening was actually delayed. So the heat, I think, just kind of put the vines into a holding pattern, mm-hmm. and we kept them as happy as we could through that period. But we did end up with a later harvest, and rather than, you know, kind of like thinking about late harvest as a way of getting more ripeness or more sugar or that kind of thing, it was in fact just everything was delayed. So we were picking and ripening and then picking in under cool conditions, so the fruit held really nicely. It matured very slowly, so we retained a lot of fresh character in the wine, and so it was really ideal for making a rosé.
You planted in 2008 three clones of Pinot Noir, 282, 777, and 114. It's the art of blending. It's fantastic.
No, it really is. And then with the rosé, we did and because we made two rosés last year, so with the Vision Rosé to make it just a little more full bodied, we did a bit more time on skins in terms of a cold soak, and then some of it was fermented in barrels with some lees contact and stirring, just to give it a little more body in the mid palate.
I noticed in your pairing notes, you recommended fresh bannock. First of all, I'd like time to make fresh bannock. That would be good.
Yeah.
And of course, it's berry season. But however, we had smoked salmon, and it was fabulous. It was fabulous. I love the melon in there. I love the hint of strawberry, but more like berries. And it's just a absolutely grand. Now, how many cases? No, 215 cases. Okay. And you can cellar it. What's going to happen to that Pinot Noir in the bottle in 3-4 years?
I think it'll richen, but I always like the freshness of a rosé. So,
sure.
You know, a couple of years is when you're going to, you know, really optimize that, those strawberry notes and some of that, you know, more floral, fruity kind of direction.
Okay. By the way, it's 11.5 alcohol. And what is the price point on this texture?
So it's from our tasting room, and, you know, what we suggest for retail is 25.
Well done. Yoo-hoo. She is Anne Sperling Vineyards. We just talked about the 2021 Pinot Noir Rosé, which is fabulous. Find it, find it, find it, find it. From the Vision series, the Ruby Pet Nat. I just want to mention it. These are your old vines, Marechal Foch, still?
Yes. Yep.
And so it's, I mean, it's 85 Ovines, Marechal Foch, and 15% Pinot Noir. Wonderful, wonderful blend. 12, it's a good 12%. 3 years in bottle. I just need the price point on that Ruby Pétnat.
Yeah, it's 32. Same, the Spritz as well as the Ruby are both 32.
All right, the 2021 Spritz Pétnat. Very handsome in the bottle, really handsome. I mean, if you're looking at it on a shelf and it's lit correctly, it'll just catch your eye. When I was growing up, the only term I ever heard for wine, which was really the awful wines in the house, awful, terrible, horrible, was cassava. And but you're working with cassava here, also Bacchus and is it Chardonnay?
Yeah, there's a little bit of young vines Chardonnay, and there's Pinot Blanc, yeah, and a bit of Pearl. So that the Pearl is a vinifera, and then so is Bacchus. Bacchus was planted in the 1980s, but and came out of a research station called Geisenheim in Germany, and so it's a vinifera by vinifera cross, but it's known for its aromatic properties and its early ripening at low Brix.
Well, it's found its place because as a Pétnat, it's grand. It's really good. And it's 9% alcohol by volume.
And that's what I love about it, too, is that both the Pearl and the Bacchus have lovely ripe characters with very low Brix. So you can make a wine that's light and fresh and has that, you know, kind of lifestyle quality of a bit lower alcohol.
If you see it on a shelf, friends, I would suggest that you just plunk it down. Well, we'll tell you what the price point is in a second. Because, I mean, on the nose, you've got lemon, you've got citrus all over the place. If you're having salmon or halibut, well, maybe halibut, I don't know about that. But certainly salmon. We're going into salmon season. Pork, chicken, white meat, it's fabulous. Spritz Pétnat from the one and only Sperling Vineyards at 9%, which you can leave in bottle for a couple of years. What's the price point?
So the two Pétnats are at $32.
$32, okay.
Yeah. So can I just jump in and describe how that wine's made and what the kind of the uniqueness is? So Pétnat stands for Pétillon Naturel, which is French for natural sparkling or natural light sparkling. And so this is a method that starts in the winery in a tank with fermentation. And before the fermentation is completed, we take the wine to a bottle that can take some pressure. And we let the fermentation finish in the bottle. So with the cap closed, the bubbles, the CO2, are trapped inside. So it makes the wine effervescent or lightly sparkling. But because the fermentation is happening as it does, there's yeast still in the bottle. And so the wine is cloudy or will have a bit of sediment in the bottom of the bottle. I think, you know, when you're not moving the bottle around, you'll see a light sediment, but as soon as you move it, it'll stir up and make the wine cloudy. So this is kind of like a bottle conditioned beer in terms of that presence of yeast and cloudiness. The wine is completely dry. It has like no residual sugar. It's gone through malolactic, but with that extra body, it still feels full. On the palate. So from a, you know, kind of a health point of view, you've got a bit lower alcohol, you've got no residual sugar, you also have no additives and particularly no sulfites.
You're saying you like it?
Well, I'm saying that there's a lot of things that make it light in terms of from digestibility and enjoyment, right?
Did you make enough for everyone?
Well, we did make quite a bit last year, thankfully. It's been really popular. The two Pétnats in our tasting room have been our top sellers over the last year or so. We just really launched about with the 2019 vintage, but you know, getting the word out was a bit slow during the pandemic. So it's been kind of available for about a year now. And yeah.
I
And
just all I did was ask the all I did was ask the question, and you took off. We've run out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. No, we got another segment to go. This is fabulous. But you were laying in wait for me that you wanted to talk about your pet gnats, because obviously they're really, really wonderful. So let's take a break here and charge our glasses. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Pinot Blanc, the Old Vines Riesling, and the Amber, the wonderful Amber from Sperling Vineyards. We have Ann Sperling on the line. We'll be right back. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. The Bistro is opened for lunch after a two-year hiatus with a set price two-course lunch, dinner 5 to 9, and most importantly, they also have takeout options. Both the Wine Shop Tasting Room and Bistro are open Wednesday to Sunday and reservations only. They do offer wine sales Monday and Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Two new releases to tell you about, the 2021 Rosé and the 2019 Pinot Noir. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival passport-style tasting event. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio, part two of our conversation with Ann Sperling, wonderful winemaker and co-founder, co-owner of Sperling Vineyards in East Kelowna. Is it east or south?
Well, with the new sub GI, we're in the East Kelowna slopes.
Yep.
I was talking with Tony Stewart, whose family's been growing grapes as long as my family has, or nearly. And we were just saying how when we were kids, it was called Southeast Kelowna, and now it's been simplified. So we have with our sub GIs, we have the East Kelowna slopes. So that includes the new Stewart Vineyard off of Crawford Road and Tantalus, and everything that's sort of, I'll say, north of that, over to including East Kelowna, like Kitch.
Yep.
And then the South Kelowna slopes is catching Summer Hill all the way to Cedar Creek and some of the new plantings that down the lake that way. What's cool is that we can talk about cool, right? So when we were classed as Okanagan, a lot of people think about Oliver and Osuyas or Naramata, which are quite a bit warmer than where we are. And having a cool region to talk about and be specific about helps, I think, get people to wrap their heads around the fact that Riesling, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir are the varieties of choice for where we grow our grapes.
Exactly. So let's talk about your 2021 Pinot Blanc. The whole idea is hands off, right? Let the wine do its thing.
Oh, absolutely. These are like super old vines. We call it Pinot Blanc because that's what people are familiar with. But when the vines actually arrived on our doorstep, they were labeled Weißburgunder. So that's the, the German clone or the German version for Pinot Blanc. And I think that's part of the reason why we harvest so late, because it's adapted to a cool climate.
Sure.
And we're harvesting late, but you notice the wine's at 10% alcohol. And I think that's just the vines, working very, very slowly through the fall to get us some lovely, pure, clean flavors. And just a lean wine that's very pure.
Yeah. Of maybe 80% of the vineyards there, even the growers are planting Pinot Blanc or have planted Pinot Blanc. In some respects, there's some sameness to it, but there's two different Pinot Blancs that I have tasted recently. Anthony Buchanan over in Culloden is really turning out a fabulous Pinot Blanc, and yours is so bone dry, it takes the breath away. It's fantastic. And 10%, it's just perfect.
I mean, I think about, all those wonderful, Mediterranean or cool climate places that you've got the seafood and you've got the those light, delicious wines just to go with it, enhancing the whole experience.
I'm going to start some trout fishing soon, and
Ooh.
as soon as I get some trout going, this is exactly what I'm reaching for. I'm going to
Yeah.
reach for your Pinot Blanc 2021. As a matter of fact, it won't be just trout. It'll be oysters. It'll be salad. Be nice soft cheeses. It'll be oh, just everything. It'll be
Yeah,
just.
no, and you know what? And if you want to do the sashimi version, it'll work with that too.
There's a lot to like. What's the price point on this Pinot Blanc?
22. Go online, just order 6 bottles or 12 bottles and get them delivered, because that makes life a lot less complicated.
You make a comment. You're 2016 Old Vines Riesling. That's right.
Yes.
That's right, friends. 2016 Old Vines Riesling. It's their flagship. You make two comments: made in the vineyard, made quote unquote in the vineyard, and honoring decisions of the past. Can you explain both those?
Sure. We call that label that we use on the Riesling our heritage label, and it's a stylized version of a barn that's been on the property since about 1905, and but really, it's a symbol for the length of time that my family's been farming, right on that spot in Kelowna, and where I was born and grew up, as did my mother and my grandfather. So, but it was really those people who made the decision about what to plant where. And when it comes to the vineyard and the grapes, they hit it right. So whether it was luck or whether they knew, what they were doing, it doesn't really matter right now, because the wines are beautiful and consistent from year to year, and they've really found their place, in our vineyard and for the region. So that's really what it's all about.
Okay.
It's just, we're there, keep those vines in a good state, keep them healthy, do the right things, but really the vineyard is so consistent from year to year.
But I mean, it also begs the question. We're hearing more and more and more about how forests, trees and forests talk to each other, like they actually communicate. Surely those vineyards are talking to one another.
Oh yeah, I totally believe that. I was in a vineyard this April in Argentina, where they're actually, like, in Argentina they don't have phylloxera, so a lot of the vineyards are planted on their own roots. They don't have a rootstock, and the traditional way of replacing a vine is to layer. So you grow a cane from a plant that you already have in the vineyard. You grow a long cane and then you bury it in the ground, and that roots. And the typical way is to, when those roots are established on the new plant, to cut it from the mother plant. But what they're doing is leaving them all connected. And so that what a cool concept to ensure that they're all connected. Yeah.
And why 2 years in bottle? Does it need to settle?
Oh, I'm like total classicist when it comes to Riesling, and I love the character of the more mature flavors, and maybe just a hint of petrol, and I'm not looking to make a fruit bomb. I want it to get past that baby fat, I'll call it, and show, the more of the core or the heart of the wine. And so I find that at least 2 years in bottle is required before you start to even get hints of that.
Now comes the hard part. How many cases?
It's a very small planting, but we make 200
200
cases a year.
cases. And the price point?
35.
Okay. And that's, we're talking about a 2016 Old Vines Riesling. 2016 Old Vines Riesling. Available now. 11.5, by the way, alcohol. And finally, we come to amber. The amber Pinot Gris, the bottle is empty. And it's
Oh.
totally empty. Organic 2021 amber Pinot Gris, Sperling Vineyards, with the label, of course, staring out at you, which is your daughter Lauren's drawing, isn't it?
Yes, yep, it is.
You like that?
I scooped it from her sketchbook one day.
Wild fermented. Wild fermented. Amber Pinot Gris. You're saying it can cellar for 5 to 7 years, but I think you made a reference about it's not the vessel, it's the grape.
Yes. And so what I mean by that is like, so an amber or an orange wine is a white wine that's made with a lot of similarities to red wine making. So with white wine, we press the grapes almost immediately, and 35% of that grape cluster goes into the compost pile, and 65% of it goes into the fermentation. Whereas when you're making an orange wine, we're using whole clusters and destemmed grapes. And so we're getting closer to 100% of that grape ending up having an influence on the wine that's made. So the stems and skins and seeds are all part of this fermentation. And so rather than put it into clay or cement or wood or any other, you know, vessel, I'm just putting a very short time in stainless steel so that you're getting, you know, we can settle it, cold settle it and get it ready for bottling. But I don't really want the flavor to be influenced by the vessel. So we're bottling within about 6 months of harvest. And and again, with no filtration, no fining. So we're not taking anything out, and also no sulfites. So you're getting a really pure expression of that grape.
How much is that expression costing me?
Yeah, it's 35. We did, we had a small price increase this year just because there's so much demand for it, but yeah.
All right. And how many cases?
For BC, we have about 400 cases.
Wonderful. Amber, Pinot Gris, yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. 12.1 in alcohol. Wonderful. Guava, some tea notes in there. $35, 400 cases. Okay, so we went through the 2021 Pinot Noir Rosé, the Spritz Pet Nat, the Ruby Pet Nat, the Vision Series, the Pinot Blanc from 2021, the 2016 Olvines Riesling, and the 2021 Amber Pinot Gris. Bravo. Absolutely,
yes.
Bravo. Now, Anne Sperling, I have to ask you a couple of big questions. I'll let you go. One is, I know that you you care greatly about extending your family's farm and taking care of it, watching over it, and also, you know, being a good neighbor and being the best possible winemaker you can be, which includes growing those grapes. So we get to regenerative farming. This is not organic. It's not biodynamic. It's regenerative. Can you explain?
Yeah. So, I mean, there is a lot of overlap in some of the concepts, but I'll take the regenerative part to its, you know, to its simplest, I'll say. But it depends on cover crops. And so it's not so much about the vines, but it is indirectly, but it's about keeping the soil alive with plants and roots and, you know, photosynthesis, as well as the mycorrhizae in the soil. So the idea is that in the planet friendly thinking, growing those plants and keeping the soil stabilized with roots and mycorrhizae is going to pull some of that carbon out of the atmosphere that we've been losing and hold it in the soil. From the vine's perspective, it's making a much more complex soil makeup of microorganisms and bringing not only carbon nutrition, but other nutrition that the plants need into the soil and making those connections that you were talking about in the root zone so that the grapevine can benefit from the availability of nutrients. And then it's stabilizing the soil, so we're not losing it to erosion because our vineyards are on slopes. It's also covering the soil with green and growing material. And what that does is it allows for beneficial insects as well as creatures up the chain. So, you know, other birds, for example, benefit from the insect populations, and the competition between the insects helps to reduce the pressure from any insect pests that might want to come in and affect our vines. But it also helps to keep the soil surface a bit cooler. So I think we've all seen those posts that people do in the middle of summer that says, you know, if you've got a tree covered street, it's much cooler than bare pavement. And that's kind of the idea that we're talking about. So we've got these cool climate varieties that really benefit from freshness and acidity. And by keeping the soil surface 10 or 15 degrees cooler, especially when we have these heat spikes that we haven't traditionally had in our growing area, we can maintain our quality standards in terms of that flavor profile. So there's a lot of really good reasons to be regenerative.
Hey, and does having a healthy farm and vineyard and soil farming practices, does it make for healthier wine?
Absolutely. Like when I think about, you know, you've commented on, for example, the alcohol levels in our wine. So some of that's related to the climate, but it's also related to organic farming. So we're making the vines healthy through natural ways, but the grapes themselves are triggered by the season in terms of their when to ripen, rather than being pushed with a lot of nitrogen fertilizer.
Yep.
That creates a sweeter grape, but not necessarily a more complete flavor in the grapes. So we're getting that mature character and a healthy juice in the sense of having all the nutrients that we need to ferment, but without the high sugars or high alcohols in the end wine. So I think it's, you know, it's a winning combination, so that you can, you know, you don't have to know all of the back story stuff, but just to know that the farming practices affects the, you know, the flavor of the wine.
All right, here's the last big question, Anne Sperling, and that is, you're farming and winemaking in three regions: Ontario, Niagara, Argentina, and the Okanagan Valley.
Mm-hmm.
From a climate change standpoint, are any one of the three immediately threatened, and how is each region adapting to what's happening to the climate?
Each of those regions that you mentioned, you know, as well as others, are dealing with many of the same problems or challenges in the relating to extreme weather events. And I mean, thankfully we're farmers, and you know, we have to be optimistic to be farming, especially in Canada, but so we're always looking for ways to improve or to solve, you know, problems, and some of them we can't deal with, we just have to continue to work through it. And so I would say none are like threatened. And, you know, obviously a fire can change that, which, you know, we don't really want to dwell on too much, but it does mean that we have to be more adaptable. And I think from a consumer standpoint, I mean, supporting local has never been more important, because the farmers and the grape growers and the wineries totally need that support. They need their wines to, you know, move off the shelf and keep things going. But yeah, I think that's the big message there, that, you know, if you have the choice, you know, reach for something that's local, and that's what allows us to keep going.
Okay. Thank you, Anne Sperling. What is your website, please?
Sperlingvineyards.com.
She's Anne Sperling, the winemaker and the co-owner of Sperling Vineyards in East Kelowna. All the details on our website, tastingroomradio.com, which can be found at mulliganstew.ca. Thank you, Anne. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival passport-style tasting event. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs, the home of The Hatch, Crown and Thieves. Speaking of Crown and Thieves, Crown and Thieves 2021 Winemaker's Wench on the nose, apricots, oranges, and honey, followed by a taste of ripe peach and melon. 2021 Winemaker's Wench. I just got this note from the Artful Dodger, Devlin Barker, at The Hatch. A reminder that The Hatching Post Saloon and Smokery is now open. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com and crownandthieves.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. And I am delighted to have welcome back to the show the winemaker, the general manager, and the co-owner of Clos du Soleil, Michael Clark. Are you well?
I'm very well, and I'm pleased to be back with you. I'm sitting in the barrel cellar of Clos du Soleil Winery, which is just outside of the town of Caramillos in the Similkameen Valley.
Yes, it is. It's almost downtown Causton.
Almost, yes.
We're very proud of. Tell me about the Similkameen. It was a sleepy, quiet little valley. It still is, frankly, in comparison to some other parts of the Okanagan. Has it come alive? What's going on locally?
Yeah, it's still very sleepy in the sense of being rural, which is something that we really treasure and which a lot of the guests who come to visit us here really love about the place too. It has this very laid back, natural feeling. It's known, in fact, as the organic farming capital of Canada.
Sure.
But increasingly over the years, there has been more and more recognition of the amazing quality of both foods and wines coming out of our valley. Some of the very best produce produced in this province, produced in this country, comes out of the Similkameen Valley. And then, of course, there are the wines produced by us and other wineries here.
So, but there's always been this tug. The Wineries Association want people to stop and take, rather than blowing through to the Golden Mile or blowing through to a Soyuz, stick around and check out what we're doing. But you had to give them, I mean, there were very few hotels. It burned down. There's very few restaurants. You had to give them a reason to stop in there, other than the fact that the erase in the hole was the fruit here is better than most other places.
Yeah, that's coming along. It's all the tourism infrastructure that you're referring to. And we do have some really hot new restaurants in the valley. There are more accommodation options too.
Yeah.
So there are a lot more reasons now to really draw people to our valley beyond the natural beauty that we've always had.
How did you do with your two-year lockdown?
It wasn't easy for us, just like anybody else in BC or really in the world.
Sure.
But first of all, we have really dedicated customers at Clos du Soleil. We've done our best to support them, and they were definitely doing their best to support us. And, you know, just like the rest of the world, we're really happy to be heading out the other side of this thing.
Did you get in on the wine caseload sale during lockdown? Were people looking for your wines not by bottle, but by case?
Yeah, we certainly saw a lot of people looking for wine. You know, when you're stuck at home, you're looking for way in a difficult circumstance. You're looking for ways to brighten your day, and wine is one of those.
Yeah.
And we saw a big emphasis on online shopping, which has always been something that we've been really recommending to people. It's such an easy way to buy wine. That spiked during the pandemic, and we anticipate it's going to be a big trend going forward.
He's Michael Clark. He is the man behind Clos du Soleil, the winemaker, the general manager, the co-owner. Well, we have one, two, three, four, five wines to talk about. Tell me about the growing season for you, 2021.
Yeah, so I'm really pleased with the quality that came out of that year. But if we went back to the summer of 2021 and you asked me what I thought, I would have told you, oh, I'm worrying about everything, which is partly my personality. But the other thing is that it was, of course, a very hot year and really hotter than you would want for growing grapes. And so the concern is that you lose acid, you lose vitality in the wines, and they become either too alcoholic or baked flavors. Whereas if you, you've tasted through our wines, you'll see that's not the case at all. Not with ours, and also not with lots of other wineries too. The vines actually shut down during the very hottest periods, and that helps preserve the acidity, contrary to what you would think. And so we have these vibrant wines, really clean, ripe flavors. So I'm very happy.
Can we talk about a couple of your wines? Because this is a two-parter, my friend. You buckle down. We're going to do a two-parter. The Pinot Gris, the 2021 Winemakers Series Whispered Secret Vineyard. Love that. Love that. Marketing would love that. The Pinot Gris from 2021. Remember when it used to be just Pinot Gris? Now it's the Winemaker Series and the Whispered Secret Vineyard.
Of course. I will say that at Clos du Soleil, our focus has always been on making wines that really tell a story of their place. That place in the bigger picture is the Similkameen Valley. Yeah. We want our wines to taste of that, but really down to the vineyard too. So we really enjoy telling people about the specific vineyards where they come from. At Clos du Soleil, we have four vineyards. Three of them, including the one that surrounds me where I'm sitting now, are on the upper bench of the Similkameen, which is the warm side of the valley. And then Whispered Secret, the one that you just mentioned, is on the south side of the valley, north facing. It's only 10 minutes away from where I am, but completely different growing conditions. It's much cooler, and it gives you that really vibrant acidity and liveliness, and also a sense of minerality or maybe salinity in that Pinot Gris.
It's the minerality that makes it for me. It truly is. But I mean, look what you're growing in.
We feel very fortunate to be here in the Similkameen, which really has these unique characteristics.
I mean, Michael, how much of a secret can it be when you put Whispered Secret on the label? I mean,
it's whispered.
What's the price point on this?
The Pinot Gris is $23.90 retail.
Well done. Smart. And I see 750 cases.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a really popular wine for us. In the past, we didn't actually keep all of those grapes for ourselves, but it's been so popular at Clos du Soleil that now all of the grapes from our vineyard are strictly for Clos du Soleil.
He's Michael Clark. He is the man behind Clos du Soleil, the winemaker, the general manager, the co-owner. The Fumé Blanc, 2021.
Yes, Fumé Blanc is a blend of Sauvignon Blanc and Semillon. Two grape varieties that are typically blended together because they're very complementary. The term Fumé Blanc is a term that was actually originating in the U.S. From Robert Mondavi.
True.
And it was a name that he developed to market Sauvignon Blanc that is fermented or aged in oak, yeah. Hence the Fumé. So ours is majority Sauvignon Blanc, but it really benefits from this minority percentage of Semillon that's blended in. And then it's fermented in a combination of stainless steel tanks,
sure,
plus French oak puncheons. The oak treatment gives it this roundness and softness on the palate, but it's not in any way oak forward wine. It's a fruit forward wine. When customers smell or taste this, they're getting tropical fruits like passion fruit and guava and lots of grapefruit as well. Those are the kind of things that really stand out in this wine.
And truly is Similkameen. It's you should, in a blind tasting, you should be able to pick that out.
Yes.
Which, as you know, is branding, is liquid branding. It's fantastic.
The 2021 vintage, too, I think is a fantastic vintage. It's all the things you and I were just discussing.
410 cases and a price point of?
$23.90 as well.
Is that getting harder to do?
The pricing?
Yeah.
To keep it every down. Winery will tell you the same thing, that all of our costs are going up. What matters to me is that we offer real value to our consumers, both at our lowest prices and at our highest. There has to be value there, and that's what we try.
Okay. He's Michael Clark. He is the man behind Clos du Soleil, the winemaker, the general manager, the co-owner. By the way, let's go back just a second. Let me challenge you on a couple of things. What would you pair with your Pinot Gris?
It's very dry with bright acidity, so it pairs very well with food to begin with. It has this density and richness, almost sometimes kind of like an oiliness to it. Which means that it can be paired with slightly heavier foods than you might pair with some lighter whites. So, for example, herbed pork roast, I think that would be a really good pairing. Roast chicken can work really well too, but even some red meats, sort of on the lighter end of the spectrum.
Pork.
Pork, yes, absolutely.
What do you do with the nice minerality in there? Would that take you into cheese land?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all of these work really well with cheeses. I would say that a soft cheese for a wine like that would work really well. But yeah, the minerality in a wine, including that one, can really bring out interesting characters in a well-paired cheese too.
He's Michael Clark. We're going to take a break in just a second, and then we have two other wines for you. You're going to just love. You're going to love. The Fumé Blanc from Whispered Secret Vineyards and the Dhaliwal Brothers Vineyards in Oliver, which are gold. I meant to say this, 61% Sauv Blanc and 39% Semillon. 745 cases. It lives near and dear to my heart. This is exactly what I want from a white wine. Exactly. Which is why there's none left. What would you pair with it?
That has such vibrant fruit character to it, both aromatically as well as on the palate, that coming up with a recipe that can pick up on those fruit notes is really good. So whether either chicken or fish
Oh,
would
sir.
work really well,
Oh, sir.
but
Could I pair it with my halibut that I'm going to catch?
your halibut, and if you cook it with some kind of citrus sauce or side, then that would pair really well.
Well done. When's the last time you went fishing?
Too long, but I know you're a good fisherman.
Well, I don't know about good, but I do as much as I can, and I intend to go drifting down the Similkameen this fall. Winemaker Series Middle Bench Vineyard, the Pinot Blanc 2021. It's beautiful, fruit forward, fresh, light. Does that imply that it should be salad material or what?
It can work really well with salad for sure. We've been making Pinot Blanc from that particular site for many years now. And what I really love about it is it has this balance between floral character, which can pair really well with salads in a lot of cases, combined with ripe orchard fruit character. Think things like peaches and pears and apples. And it has that nice balancing between the floral and the fruit. So it too gives you a lot of flexibility.
Michael, we haven't mentioned the word organic, but you do grow organically, do you not?
Yes, all of our vineyards at Clos du Soleil are certified organic
Yep.
and managed biodynamically, which is kind of like a few steps beyond organic. But to me, that's absolutely crucial to be able to produce the best quality wine possible, because it's my firm belief that for the vines to produce high quality grapes, they have to be healthy. And to have a healthy vine, you have to have healthy living soils. When you put chemicals on soil, it kills the soil. So the organic practices are really important for us.
Kills your neighbor's soils too. So do you practice regenerative farming?
Yes, exactly. It's really about leaving the soil and the land, the ecosystem, in a better state than how you
Exactly
found
that. Exactly. Yes. Long after you leave, you don't want regrets like that. Okay,
it.
we're going to take
Exactly.
a break. He's Michael Clark. He is the man behind Clos du Soleil, the winemaker, the general manager, the co-owner. And if there's a sing-along night, he'll be on the microphone. Clos du Soleil, and we have two winners coming for you. We have the rosé, which was the first thing opened, and the gorgeous signature. And so we're going to talk about those and other things after this. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs, the home of The Hatch, Crown and Thieves. Speaking of Crown and Thieves 2021 Winemaker's Wench on the nose, apricots, oranges, and honey, followed by a taste of ripe peach and melon. 2021 Winemaker's Wench. I just got this note from the Artful Dodger, Devlin Barker at The Hatch. A reminder that The Hatching Post Saloon and Smokery is now open. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com and crownandthieves.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from at Mooncursor: the gorgeous 2021 Roussanne Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. Welcome back. This is a wonderful tasting room radio. The opening act, Michael Clark, of this show was Ann Sperling at Sperling Vineyards up in East Kelowna. And she was the one I was having the conversation with about regenerative. It's not it's funny to say, it's not glamorous like organic or biodynamic, but even they had to slog it out. People didn't want, don't tell me about organic, it's going to cost me too much. I don't even know what biodynamic is. That was, people just didn't want to know, just give me the wine, leave me alone. Now we're thinking about the land and regenerating the land. So we're going to hear more and more of that over the next years, obviously.
Oh, yeah, it is really the trend of the future, I believe. I mean, we ought to have always been thinking this way as a planet, but more and more farmers, more and more wine growers are really getting on to this. And as I said before, I think it's really crucial to producing high quality wine. And I'll say too that Ann Sperling is a good friend, and I have a lot of respect for her views on this topic. We certainly see eye to eye.
Have you tried her orange wines lately, the Amber?
Yes, they're beautiful.
Jeez. Are you heading that way? Are you going to be making some?
Oh, an orange wine?
Yeah.
So we had done a very small one a few years ago, which customers really loved, and I haven't made one since then. So it's certainly on my list of things I may do again in the future.
Now, rosé, I don't think it has to explain who it is anymore. Have you got a full bottle?
I do, indeed.
Hold it up there. Show the. You can just want to see the color. Turn it around. The little hand move. There you go. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. So this is from your estate, from Le Cote Vineyard, the Caramillas. 66% Cab Sav and 40% Malbec, which is not a blend I can ever remember hearing about. Tell me why those in particular.
Yeah, that's a very good question, because it's not a common blend, particularly for a rosé. They're actually both grape varieties that Clos du Soleil, and that I have a lot of experience making rosé from. Early in Clos du Soleil's history, we were known as one of the few BC wineries making rosés from 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. More recently, in the last 5 or so years, we've been making rosés from 100% Malbec. I have two different blocks for both of those varieties that grow really high quality fruit specifically for rosé. I've also had some years where I made 100% Cab Sauv and 100% Malbec in the same year. This year, I fermented them separately, but then during the blending process, I really decided that it was a much better marriage putting the two together. They were very complementary and came up with what I would call a more unified wine in the end. Hence the fact that even though we've worked for many years with those two varieties, this is the very first year we put them together.
Was the Cab always going to carry the day?
Yeah, that is what we had more available to us for rosé too. Yeah. But they do have quite distinctive profiles, like once you bring them apart, and that's part of the reason why they work well together.
How long were they on skins?
About 4 hours.
Yeah, it's exactly that. Those are heavy wines, and you had to just do a drive-through, right?
Exactly, yes. Yeah, I've experimented over the years with more skin contact, which, as you know, takes more color into the wine and more flavors and sometimes more tannin,
yeah,
or very light skin contact, which makes a particularly delicate rosé. And I've really found that around 4 hours, give or take an hour or two, is this nice balanced point for these varieties.
Okay, but straight up question. Were you blending for taste or were you blending for color?
Yeah, you really have to think about both. For so many consumers, getting just the right color is really important. They like to buy that way. I'm less of a visual person. To me, the flavors and the aromas, particularly the aromas, are key. And you really want both. So you're as a winemaker, like so many other decisions, it's about balancing different competing priorities.
I know that you can't get people to buy that bottle if it's the wrong color. You can hear the conversations in the wine stores. But
Right, right.
you have to, and if they turn to me and recognize me and ask me the question and say, it's what's in the bottle. Color smaller, it's what's in the bottle, and you either trust the person who made it or you don't. But look at that. Look at the hue on that bottle. That's gorgeous. Look
Well,
at
thank
the,
you.
oh, it's beautiful. So, did you make a whack of it, like thousands of cases?
I wish I could have because it would sell. Rosés are very popular right
Yes.
now. But no, we didn't have a ton. In fact, you'll hear this from other winemakers in BC that 2021 was a fairly low yield
Yeah.
year. And so, whether we're talking rosé or anything else, I only wish I had more. But the most important thing is the quality, and I'm very happy with that.
404 cases, beautifully done. Price point.
The rosé is 26.90.
Okay, I have an admission to make. When I tasted the rosé, I couldn't help myself. I ate hard Italian cheese.
How was the pairing?
I didn't care. I was very happy because I notice now, looking at the notes here, it says, make a perfect pairing with salmon, roasted chicken, soft cheeses, or just a sunny day in a picnic basket. I went hard cheese. I'm sorry. I failed you miserably.
You know what? I tell this to customers all the time. The pairing that's right is the one that pleases you. There is no hard and fast rules when it comes to pairing.
You gave me the price point?
Yes, 26.90.
He's Michael Clark. He is the man behind Clos du Soleil, the winemaker, the general manager, the co-owner. I just love it. I love the story behind the bottle. That's one of the things about the great things about wine, Michael, as you well know, the story behind the wine. When people open a bottle and they're there with their friends or anybody in conversation, you get to tell the story. But only if you care. You read about it and learn about the winemaker, learn about the winery, where it was grown. That's why we're telling you, friends, that's why we want you to know this information, because it all goes into opening the bottle for your friends and saying, this is two wines that normally don't go together, a Cab and a Malbec. And so you want to try this because this is a new direction for rosé. So congratulations on that. And now we come to Signature, which is absolutely the flagship. It's the icon wine. What's the blend this year?
So it includes all five Bordeaux varieties, which means Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Malbec, and Petit Verdot. The largest percentage is the Merlot at 42%, then Cabernet Sauvignon, and then the other three.
It's your Bordeaux blend. And what are you saying as an artist? Because the blending is the art. What are you saying to us that you want to leave as a legacy?
Yeah, so when I in talking about signature, when I am putting together that wine, the winemaking term is assemblage, but effectively that means deciding the blend. I'm tasting each of these barrels that are behind me.
Sure.
Each has a different variety from a different vineyard block, and I'm tasting them blind, which is to say that I don't know what variety is in, and I'm putting together the blend for signature that tells the story, really, that tells the story without me having to speak any words. You were just talking about how that's the beauty of wine. And to me, if I get the blend right, then it tells the story of a place, meaning the Similkameen Valley, and it tells the story of a year, in this case, 2019. And we can talk about the different varieties that are in it, but actually, I'm not thinking at all about whether it should be more Merlot or more Cabernet Sauvignon. What I care about is that it tastes like Similkameen Valley 2019.
In terms of taste, ripe cherry, ripe fruit, ripe black fruit, actually, cassis. I thought there was some vanilla went through, but that was just me playing games with myself. But there was a sagebrush on the nose. It was it just revealed itself is what it is. And I thought, what a great wine this is. I can't wait to just let you know that your belief in Signature rewards us and you every time we decide to try it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We put a lot, myself and the whole team here, put a lot of effort into trying to produce the very best wines we can across the board, but certainly especially for a wine like Signature. And so it's when customers open it with friends over good food and enjoy it that that makes it all seem worthwhile. We cellar the wines ourselves before releasing them. So the 2019 has just come out in the market in the last few weeks. It's drinking well right now, just like you said. But for customers who do want to put a few bottles away for a few years, it will age beautifully.
It's the Clos du Soleil Signature 2019, a glorious Bordeaux blend. 453 cases, a price point of?
$54.90.
Michael, let's get down to a couple of things and I'll let you go. One is, do you fear for farming? Well, we fear for the planet. Do you fear for farming, not just you, but your neighbors growing fruit and vegetables, feeding people down the road? And what's nature telling you?
Yeah, I do worry about that. I partly worry about it because it's my job. We are fundamentally a farm here. And so, and we're already, all of us, living through climate change. And so it does impact our activities every single year as we have more extreme weather events. What I think we can do is focus on our own lives and try to make the changes that we can. And so that's behind those choices to be organic at Clos du Soleil. It's behind choices that we make at Clos du Soleil all the time about trying to be energy efficient and make environmentally sound decisions. And then in my own personal life, I try to do the same. And I think that's all any of us can do.
And what's this year? This year has been kind of weird. No, that's not true. I've seen descriptors before of years that said, oh, it rained up until June the 15th, and then, boom, the sun came out and off we went. As long as the sun comes out, we've got something special going on. I just wonder if this cool trend continues on into your serious Sundays, how it might affect the this year's vintage.
You never know till the season's over, of course, but right now we're really optimistic. It has been a much cooler year for sure, but certainly for the style of wines that we try to make at Clos du Soleil, which I would characterize as, classic, or we aim for a sense of elegance, these more moderate years / cool years can actually be ideal for that. The other thing I'll say is that while so far this year, we haven't had many days at all here where the temperatures have been as hot as normal, like over 30 degrees. The vines actually grow very well. In fact, it's sort of their ideal point in the high 20s, which is actually a lot of the temperatures we're having right now. And as you get to the mid 30s, or high 30s, like we do a lot of summers here, they actually shut down and slow down their growth. So right now with this more moderate temperatures, we're actually having beautiful growth in the vines. I don't wanna jinx things, you never know what's gonna happen, but there's the possibility that this could be an excellent year.
What's your website?
www.closdusoleil.ca, and there's tons of information there, but among other things, there's our online store. As I mentioned, it's a really, really easy way to buy wine, and for customers in BC and Alberta, it's free shipping all the time for six or more bottles.
Wine club?
Yes, we have a wine club that is almost full, so if there are people out there who are interested in it, now is the time to sign up. And there are a lot of added benefits, but of course, the biggest benefits are that you get a lot of small lot wines that the average customer doesn't get access to from Clos du Soleil, and you get 10% off all your purchases year round.
Congratulations on these wines.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It means a lot to me.
He's Michael Clark. He's the winemaker. He's the general manager. He's the co-founder, co-owner of Clos du Soleil. fabulous in downtown Carameas, Costin. And if you go there, don't just do the drive-through. Stay. See if you can find a place to hang. There's great food going on. You can stay over at Reese's house if you want. But, I mean, it's just to stick around and check everybody out. Well done.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, mate. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. Very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from at Mooncursor. The gorgeous 2021 Roussan Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. And just a reminder that the very popular flights from downtown Vancouver to the El Dorado on Okanagan Lake have been reinstituted by Harbor Air. You can find them at harborair.com.